them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. We in here on this Monday. Hey, what it do, what it do. One more time for the weekend. Hey. Man, we welcome you in here to the Monday, July 14th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
KC is out this week.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
Alongside.
What are you doing with him?
I've learned what KC's thing is when he's out now. Like, yours is like just some random surprise guest is going to pop out when you're gone. KC's, when he's gone, some news pertaining to one of his teams is going to pop up, and he's just not going to be here.
That's true.
Like, whether it be Juwan Jennings or the Giants and stuff, like, there's things to talk about. We would have let him, he's just on vacation.
Didn't a Christian McCaffrey trade?
Yeah, we knew he was on his way to Jamaica, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, now Juwan Jennings has stuff to say. We'll talk about that. That's certainly an interesting wrinkle to the upcoming start of training camp that I didn't expect, as I thought the 49ers had escaped all of that stuff for this particular season. But, you know, we'll dive into that. There's lots of different things to talk about. Not the weekend that the Giants were hoping for, though it was close. Just didn't go the way that they needed. So we'll talk about that, what I think that means for them coming out of the All-Star break. LeBron James declining to join the ESPN broadcast made huge news all over the NBA. Just telling the insiders a couple of minutes ago, I'm pretty anxious to dive into this NFL Players Association owners thing that has been going this. Man, I don't know. I feel like it's a scandal, but I feel like anytime you've got your players union working in, you know, direct order with the people that you fight against, yeah, that feels like a scandal to me. So we'll talk about that today. Will Z is going to join us later on in the show. I know he's excited to talk about some of the things that we've seen from King Summer League. And then, of course, James Hamm will be with us here coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. I am quite the contrast to our man Kyle Mattson there just a couple of minutes ago. I love the game I saw from Devin Carter over the weekend. It's literally what I was screaming for. Like, I need you to come out and dominate. I need you to come out and be that guy we saw in the G League. I need you to come out and show that you're better than everybody else. And I feel like that's exactly what he did. Now, you might not feel like, and this was, I think, Kyle's point, which I completely understood, you might not feel like that's the move for Summer League, but for me, especially for him, for a guy who had kind of such limited time last year, yeah, give me that. That's exactly what I needed. I needed you to go out there and be great. I needed you to go out there. I mean, 10 of 13, 5 of 7. I need you to do that. I need to see you run the floor with the ball in your hands. If Devin Carter at the backup point guard spot or at the third point guard spot or whatever, like at Devin Carter at any point guard spot, I need you to see you be comfortable with the ball in your hand. And I didn't feel like that was something that we saw in the first game. The first game was overly clunky, and we can come up with 50 different reasons as to why that might have been the case. We can come up with 50 more reasons as to what happened on Saturday was the exact opposite. But the exact opposite is what I needed to see from him. Now, how many more times he does that moving forward, not really a big deal. I'd like to see him play tonight. I'd like to see him play well tonight. And then if Devin Carter doesn't play again, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I saw what I wanted to see from him on both sides of the ball on Saturday. Watching his isolated film back this morning, it stood out even a little bit more. Just if you cut clips, I'm sure King's film room has got him up somewhere. If you just watch him from game one to game two with the ball in his hand, not even talking about his aggressiveness at scoring, not even talking about just him in the half-court offense. You watch that ball come up the rim. There were times over and over and over again on Saturday where he just grabbed that ball and he led the break. There was no hesitation from Devin Carter on Saturday, which, again, I love. That's what I needed to see. The de facto vet out there, so to speak, the leader, the one who, in terms of the guys who are playing, I know there are guys who have been around the league longer, but guys who are going to be on the roster, guys who are going to be playing, you know, he's the one that you got to look for. We talk about guys being on the main roster. Like, I'm turning to Devin. If I'm Neek, if I'm Max, that's who I'm turning to. Like, yo, what are we doing out here? And I thought Devin Carter was terrific. Devin Carter told me to shut the hell up with that game, and that's what I wanted. I want to see him do it again. I don't need to see him shoot 10 of 13. I don't just need to see his shots fall. Like, shots are going to fall. Shots are going to miss on a night-to-night basis. It's what NBA on TNT tells us. It's what NBA Today used to tell us. It's a make-or-miss league. But what else do you do? How are you moving on the defensive end? How are you moving with the ball in your hand? How are you moving on the break? How are you leading on the offense? I think he had 3 assists, right? It's whatever. I mean, he's not Chris Paul. I'm not looking for him to be, you know, Russell Westbrook and average a triple-double. I just wanted to see the man be comfortable, and I thought he was. I thought he was completely comfortable with the ball in his hand. At least he looked it, and everybody looked comfortable with him. The offense looked a lot more fluid. And there were a lot of things that were, you know, a bit different in Saturday's game versus game one. And, you know, we'll talk about these guys a little bit more in-depthly, you know, as the show rolls along. But, you know, Maxime Marinov showed out in the first quarter of game one, where every time, you know, we're doing the KSFM show, this game's getting underway, and every time we look up, Max is scoring in a different way. Max is scoring in the low block. He's scoring in the mid-range. We're sitting here watching him, you know, catch the ball around the three-point arc, and we're saying audibly, shoot it. He gets that ball up, it goes in. I joke, hey, man, we're winning the championship with this kid. That's not what it looked like on Saturday. It was a lot more spread out on Saturday, which to me made Devin's contribution stand out a little bit more. Because the guy who had the big big offensive output was actually Devin Carter. And so what you do with those three guys in particular moving forward, I think really depends on what you plan on doing with them this season and how much more you want to see from them. I'll repeat this until the season starts and I just have to shut up about it because it's reality. I don't like guys asking to play out of their natural position. I mean, you could call Devin Carter a point guard if you want to. Everybody knew when he was drafted, he's not really a point guard. Like, he can do a lot of different things from the backcourt, but that's not exactly what he is. He's not the organizer, that which has become my favorite term for a point guard, that Fred VanVleet is. He's not the floor general that a guy like Chris Paul is, or even like a guy like Lonzo Ball is. Those are the type of point guards. That's closer to what I think Dennis Schroeder is. I don't think he's exactly the floor general that either one of those guys are, but I think he's a lot closer to that than he is, say, like a Trae Young or something like that. I think the Sacramento Kings needed another one of those. Hell, even Malik Monk isn't that. Malik Monk isn't that floor general type. I think the Sacramento Kings need a guy. I think the Sacramento Kings need a traditional point guard. I mean, I know Chris Paul is out there. I think the Sacramento Kings need a guard like that. Now, the problem with that is, as we've outlined and we'll just continue to outline until something changes on the roster, is in fact the roster. The way that the roster is loaded up in that 1-2 spot would make it really difficult to go acquire someone to play primarily the one, because then you're just juggling, okay, how are we going to put Malik in here? How are we going to work, you know, Devin Carter into this equation? We put in Neek at a 3. Is Neek too small to be a 3? Does he need to be the 2? Do we mismatch these lineups? How does this all work? It felt like going into the season, the Kings needed to get rid of one of those guys. The Kings needed to move one of those guys to try to get somebody, you know, maybe who could add some depth at the 3-4 spot. Now it feels like they might need to get rid of two of those guys to add some depth at the 3-4 spot and potentially add someone who handles primary backup point guard duties. And this goes back to the CJ McCollum tweet, Jennifer, I'm trying. Or, I'm trying, Jennifer. I'm pretty sure the Sacramento Kings have been trying to do this. They've just been unsuccessful. Pretty sure they've been trying to move off some of these guys in this loaded backcourt and just haven't succeeded. Which would make failing at moving one of them and going to acquire someone else at that position a bit foolish. Now, there are some things that happened over the weekend that I actually didn't realize hadn't. And it's the Saric-Jonas Valanciunas trade. All of the talk about JV had been about Denver and going to play in Greece and Denver honoring him to his NBA contract. And, you know, I learned far more about overseas contracts than I ever really cared to learn about over the course of the last week. But I hadn't realized that the trade actually hadn't been completed. Both teams announced the trade yesterday, which I thought was so funny. Shouldn't the conversation been about, yeah, if this trade doesn't go through, Sacramento's just kind of stuck. And this was, I mean, Dario Saric isn't as good of a player as Jonas Valanciunas is, but this was a money-saving move. And I don't know if that's because of Dennis or other things that they're trying to do here this offseason. But I did, the first thing I wondered when I saw the let's get to work Dario Saric or whatever the tweet was oh, this hadn't been completed yet. Okay. Maybe this had to be completed for them to get moving on some other things. Now, I have no idea if that's true. I just thought it was interesting that trade actually hadn't been completed when we thought it had. We'll talk more about that as the day progresses, and we will dive back in to the game we saw on Saturday from the Sacramento Kings at Summer League. We'll get back to the rookies who continue to play really, really well. So we'll talk more Kings basketball. Obviously, KC is out today. I'm thrilled that you're here with us. We're going to open up the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. If y'all want to hang out, get on these phone lines, be the co-host for the day, 916-909-1320. We're just getting started. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We're talking during the commercial break with the Chatty House. It looks like a lot of people, including Jesse, went to see Superman. Obviously, that movie was an absolute monster. Mark asked, do you like Superman movies or superhero movies? Excuse me. Not really. It's not that I don't like them. Most of the ones that I've seen, I've thoroughly enjoyed. I just don't make an effort to go see all of them that come out. It feels like there's so many. And I started having trouble understanding what was happening with these superhero movies when they did like the Jerry Maguire Spider-Man movies. And then, like, they dropped one. And
Tobey Maguire.
I said Jerry Maguire. Yeah. Jerry Maguire is terrific. Yeah, Tom Cruise was playing Superman.
I was like, wait, which one was that?
The Tobey Maguire ones. And then they put one out, and, like, people didn't like it. And then, like, immediately, like, an entirely new version of Spider-Man came out.
Yeah, there's been three different Spider-Men.
And I was confused. I was like, wait, where's Tobey? Oh, this is different. So it's like the Batman joints where they do the, you know, it's Michael Keaton, then it's George Clooney, then it's all these different people. And then, no, we're completely resetting. We have a brand new director and we're doing, you know, Christian Bale, and this is getting real dark. And so once I caught on to like how this all worked, it's like, okay, I got it. We're doing this completely different. Like, wasn't there a Superman that dropped not that long ago?
Man of Steel was like 2000 and
Man of Steel
13 okay. to 17, one of those years in between.
Okay,
pretty recently enough, I guess. Well, there was Batman versus Superman. That was one of them. That was pretty recent too.
Batman versus Superman.
Like, this okay. is a different, yeah, different Superman, obviously, than the Henry Cavill guy.
Yeah, I guess I just don't pay enough attention. I did finally watch Sinners.
How'd you like that?
I loved it.
Yeah, it
was tremendous. Like, it was absolutely fantastic. I didn't realize because I waited so long to watch it. We made a, like, hey, we're watching Sinners Friday Night. We're watching Sinners Friday Night. We're watching Sinners Friday Night. So I get home. It was like, you want to eat dinner and watch the movie? I'm like, no, because I have to get up, do the dishes. We'll watch it as soon as we're done eating. And I was both happy and felt stupid when I went and went to the Apple TV and found Sinners and saw I waited so long that it was on HBO Max now and it was free.
Oh yeah, that's where I watched it. First day it was out. That's what I waited for.
I felt ridiculous, but two, I was like, oh, okay. Procrastination pays off. Save me $20 or whatever it was, because I fully expected we'd have to do the bit where you go to Apple Music or iTunes or whatever and buy it for $25 and watch it. But I thought Sinners was incredible. I don't know if Casey said to, I'm not sure, but I was really happy I stayed through the credits.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if someone said to stay through the credits, but I remember like the credits start to run and I'm like, nah, hang on. Let's just wait this out.
Shout out to Marvel for that one.
And the scene comes back, and that was one of the, I thought that was one of the best scenes of the whole movie.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of just tied everything
together.
Yeah,
that final, you know, 5 minutes was just fantastic.
I feel like Sinners is one I got to rewatch, because like everything from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie is just connected in some way.
Yeah, in that movie.
There are things I'm sure I missed.
Yeah, I was locked into that. Like, it was sit there, no talking, no getting up, no refilling drinks. Let's just lock in on what's happening in this movie. But I absolutely love that. I'm glad to see so many people love Superman. I will say, oh, I'm gonna go see it. Like, no, I'm not.
Just wait till it comes out. Yeah, I never HBO Max.
I wanted to see Sinners in the theater. It just never happened. 1 week turns into two, turns into three. Then it's like, well, let's just wait for to rent it at home. And then that went south, and it wound up being on HBO Max. So the turnaround time on movies is pretty quick now.
Yeah.
It'll hit. And,
well, I feel like, because do you think that has anything to do with just people not going to the movies anymore?
Probably. I mean,
it for a few weeks, 3 weeks, or whatever, and all right, throw it out there now.
So yeah, I think when you throw it on to a DSP, like while it's winding down its time in theaters, you have people like me. I was fully prepared to pay $20 to own the movie, which I know I'd probably only watch once. Or twice, maybe, but I was fully prepared to pay the $20 to just watch it at home. That's the COVID effect.
I was going to say, that's one of the things from COVID that just kind of still lasted. That's probably never going to go away.
To me, like, if you put out a movie in the theaters today and said, all right, well, it's, you know, $18 if you go to the theater, but it's $40 if you watch it at home. I watch it at home. I'd watch it at home for $40 and be very happy and call it a wash, because popcorn ain't gonna cost me $20, and I already got my drink there, so I'm good to go. That's one, and I understand why they didn't, but that's one I wish COVID had kept. But it was a big weekend at the movies, it appears, for all of the superhero fans. I'll try to catch up on the next one, man. We'll see. I'm sure I'll watch this when it hits HBO Max or whatever streaming platform it's going to. I did get the opportunity on a pretty busy Saturday to catch up with that Sacramento Kings game. Got a chance to watch it mostly live, and then rewatched the whole thing last night. And I kept wanting to pick apart what the rookies were doing, you know, because as I'm watching them, it's like, oh, they're a little bit more spread out. They're a little bit more. There's no big, you know, scoring burst. Well, I guess that's not the case for Nick. Nick had a big fourth quarter again, but it was for Max. Max didn't have that. You know, 11 points in the first quarter like he did in game one. But I thought he played really well. I thought both guys played really well. And I'm trying to figure out what my expectation for them is, meaning Neek and Max, what my expectation for them is headed into the regular season, headed into training camp and all of that type of different stuff, versus what the Sacramento Kings' expectation might be of them. I did feel like with the Valanciunas trade, maybe that changes Maxime Reynaud's role a little bit. Because my initial thought was like, nah, it's cool. Like, it's cute. I'm glad everybody's high on him. I'm glad everybody is digging this. But Jonas Valanciunas is the Sacramento Kings' backup. He's a more than capable backup. He's a starting caliber backup. And then he gets traded, which, of course, didn't get finalized until yesterday. We'll talk more about that when James gets with us in the 3 o'clock hour. But when the trade gets announced, it's like, oh, Saric. All right. I think there's a Drew Eubanks thing was over there. It's like, all righty. And then you start hearing about Maxime Renault. You see him get selected. Then you start hearing the conversation about him and the different things that he could do, the way that he can shoot, the way he could draw defenses out. He could spread the floor. That was on great display in the first two games of this summer league. And those might be the last two games we see of Maxime Renault. Sean Cunningham of KCRA just tweeted, Sacramento Kings rookie Maxime Renault will not play in today's summer league game against the Suns due to right wrist soreness that he suffered in Saturday's win over Orlando. Again, he doesn't say he's out for the remainder of summer league, but Maxime Renault will not play in today's summer league game against the Suns. And if he doesn't play again, that's not a big deal either. Summer league, I'd actually prefer he doesn't play, because summer league, and I love basketball as much as the next person does, but it gets really difficult watching summer league basketball as you get later into this week. As you start to get into the Thursdays and Fridays and the spectacle of summer league is gone. Like, LeBron James isn't going to be courtside for the Los Angeles Lakers game on Thursday or Friday or whenever they next play. Maybe if Bronny's getting run, but even at that, I still doubt it. Like, the allure of summer league is the first weekend. It's Thursday, really through Sunday. You could stretch it into today, as I'm sure there's a bunch of meetings going on. A lot of general managers still there. A lot of people still there. And then they start to filter out. There's not a mass exodus like there is the All-Star game. There's just a filtering out, and it's a quick filter. They disappear quickly. And then the more that they disappear, the more the Neeks, the Maxines. I mean, Cooper Flagg's already been shut down. Like, it kind of comes to an end pretty quickly. So I'll be happy to watch a Kings game on Thursday or Saturday. I just don't want to watch it super intently. And if Neek is playing, I am. If Max is playing, I am. With all due respect to Isaiah Stevens or Isaiah Crawford or some of these guys who might be on two-way deals or some of these guys who might find, you know, their pathway in Stockton, I'll catch up on them when Deuce and Mo are on the call and find out what's going on. But outside of that, like, let's just kind of get this over with. So Maxime won't play tonight, but I love the way that Maxime played in the first two games of this the summer league. And I think it showed. And if you had a level of excitement, and, you know, I asked people like, hey, I know the possibilities of this are really exciting, but let's take a deep breath. Let's chill. Let's see what happens, you know, as the season rolls along. And then summer league starts and he immediately scores 11 points from eight different places on the court. It's like, okay, well, this isn't going to settle anybody's excitement down, nor should it. Like, why not? You have the right to be excited when, one, you're a franchise that doesn't provide you much excitement, and two, yo, this is a second-round pick who people talked really highly about. Hey, man, this is my pop. It's my work. And Neek, man, those 10 points from Neek in the fourth quarter against Chicago the other day. Like, Neek, I love that Neek just stayed aggressive. You go back to that Orlando game the other day, he needed, like, he was instrumental in the Sacramento Kings winning that game. Those, I think, I can't remember if it was 10 or 11 points that he scored in the fourth quarter, but they, like, he, the Kings, what was that, 84-81? Yeah, they needed all of that Kings beat the Bulls' ass the other day. Like, they didn't need those points, but he stayed aggressive. He stayed aggressive. He kept playing his game. And he continued to show off the different things that he could do. One thing he didn't know, he didn't get to the foul line. It's not necessarily his fault. Summer League officials also. You never, you know, I mean, Chicago shot 28 free throws in that game. They were getting the whistle. Neek didn't really work for the whistle like that. And maybe that's not his game. I have to pull up or talk to some of the experts about what he shot from the free throw line in terms of not necessarily percentage-wise, but what he shot in terms of free throws per game in college. But he hit the three. 8 of 13. 19 points in total. You know, behind only Devin Carter, who dropped that 30-piece. And then Max, who had 17. There's no reason to not, you know, feel good about what you saw in Summer League. Now, you could try to temper your expectations. You could try to, like, not get overly excited. And to be honest, as I'm saying that, I realize I don't think anything is going to happen this offseason that's going to get Sacramento Kings fans too excited. Having Neek play well, I think, brings a level of excitement for sure. I think having Max Ingram play well brings a level of excitement for sure. If Devin Carter plays well tonight in whatever part of the Summer League that he plays the rest of the way, whether it's tonight or it's through the week, I think Kings fans will be just fine. Barring seismic trades, plural, I don't think anything is going to get Sacramento Kings fans overly hyped at the end of the season. Now, I think when training camp comes around and preseason comes around, I think some of the negative discourse surrounding this team will disappear a little bit. Let me rephrase that. It won't disappear. It will subside a little bit. And then I think the excitement for the season will come, and hopefully it starts, like, immediately. You know, hopefully the Sacramento Kings don't find themselves behind the eight ball like 6, 7, 8 games into the season, and they come out and play well. I'm not asking them to go 8-0, 6-2. They just come out and are playing solid basketball. And it's like, okay, we see this. This works. Again, it's not a, you know, what was Doug? 11 of 12? 11 of his first 12? You know, 7 in a row, 11 of his first 12 or something like that? Yeah, it does that. Just come out. Play good basketball, and that's the thing that I keep getting stuck on. When you add, you know, a potentially impactful rookie like Neek Clifford, when you add a potentially impactful rookie like Maxime Reyneau, when you have an improved, you know, second-year player like Devin Carter is a second-year player, but it's kind of his de facto rookie season. Like, again, I get he played last year. I don't even know. Did Devin Carter play enough games to be eligible for Rookie of the Year last year? I mean, I know he came back shortly after Doug was hired, or Mike was fired, whichever one you want to look at. He played 36 games last year. He wouldn't even have been eligible for Rookie of the Year last year. So I don't think. Isn't that how many? Didn't Joel Embiid play 36 games in what was his third season, and he thought he was going to win Rookie of the Year in his fourth season?
Well, yeah, it was something like that. And then wasn't there something with Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons didn't play his rookie year either. Well, I don't remember how many he played his second season.
Well, I think, yeah, the second year, like, there was the whole thing with him and Donovan Mitchell as far as winning that award because Ben technically was in his second year or something like that.
Man, how times have changed. Joel played 31 games the first year that he played 31 games, which was actually his third season. And I'm pretty sure he tweeted he was going to win Rookie of the Year next year, which would have been his fourth season. But regardless of eligibility or not, the dude played 36 games last year. I mean, he spent a chunk of time in the G League. He spent a chunk of time on just being injured and not being on the roster. So it's okay to like feel a level of excitement around these three guys. But when you factor all of this in, it's the one thing that I just can't shake about this Sacramento Kings team. I do not think that their roster is bad. We could talk about the makeup of the roster. That's a bit of a different story. But the roster as a whole, the Zach LaVine, I do not hate Zach LaVine. I do not think he's a bad basketball player. DeMar DeRozan, I understand some of you don't like the fit on the Sacramento Kings. That's fine. I think he's a good basketball player. Malik Monk, whatever is going on with him behind the scenes, whether they're trying to move him or not, or whatever his future is, whatever. Malik's a cool basketball player. He's great vibe guy, too. Fans love him. Domas frustrates the hell out of me. Yo, but Domas is good, and I still maintain he's underrated. Maybe underappreciated. There's more he could do. He refuses to do it. And Keegan, I have given Keegan Murray a level of grace that I just have not given Devin Carter. Devin Carter, as we just stated, 36 games into his NBA career. Keegan Murray entering what, his third season, fourth season? And I give him none. Fourth season. I'm giving Keegan all of the grace and Devin none. Because I still think Keegan is good. Now, how good Keegan is, that seems to be an endless topic of discussion on this show, in the Kings universe, and perhaps even in front offices as well. Perhaps even in the Sacramento Kings front office. He's extension eligible.
I wonder what they do think of Keegan.
I can't.
Because Monty and Mike, I'm sure, loved him and all that. But Monty and Mike aren't here anymore. Yeah. And like Doug's been around and all, so we've seen Keegan progress and all that. But like I said, it just kind of ties into Devin in a sense where like they didn't draft him either. So it's just like, how do you feel about him as a player, I guess?
If I were to guess, I think Doug is really high on, on Keegan.
Not to say they're against him. I'm just like, for sure. Just how they feel about him.
Scott, when Scott laid out, I can't remember if this was the exact term he used, but forgive me, the principles of what the Sacramento Kings' identity should look like, yo, a lot of that was Keegan. Now, it might not be like, Keegan might not be the highest example of all of those things where he's a, you know, an elite defender, an elite this, an elite that. Keegan's a great character guy. He busts his ass on both sides of the floor. You know, there are obviously things that Keegan can be better at, but when you talk about the principles of what a Sacramento Kings player should be, when you talk about the identity that Scott Perry is attempting to establish with this roster, to me, Keegan Murray absolutely fits that. He absolutely fits that. So what Scott Perry in this front office does moving forward with him, we'll all find out together. But I think Keegan is a good basketball player. And I know that's not the debate because his name has been tied to so many, you know, high-level trades, be it OG, be it Pascal, be it any trade that might not have even been rooted in reality that someone put on Trade Machine, threw it up on Twitter or Reddit and said, let's cook. We've used him as the Sacramento Kings' biggest like trade commodity, the biggest asset. And so that at least speaks a little bit to what Sacramento Kings fans think of him. And I think we'll soon learn what this Sacramento Kings front office thinks of him. But I say all that to get back to the original point. That it's okay to be excited about the way Neek is playing. It's okay to be excited about the way Max is playing. It's okay to be excited about the way that Devin is playing. those guys fit onto this Sacramento Kings team. We could pick apart the roster and talk about how clunky it's formed and we've got too many players here and not enough players here, and you'd all be accurate in that assessment. The overarching point is this team is talented. They're not as bad as people are making them out to be. I don't know. I think I have a little bit of concern about the psychological component. I have a little concern about like how people are feeling coming into training camp. I'd be really curious to know how Domantas Sabonis is feeling this offseason. I'd be really curious to know how Devin Carter truly feels about hearing his name in trade discussions. Or if nothing else, hearing his name in the rumor mill. I'd love to like know that. Malik Monk, same thing. Is Malik Monk sitting around like, yo, a year ago, y'all loved me. Now everybody turning on me? And I don't think everyone has turned on Malik at all. And I don't think Malik is one of those guys who lives on social media either. I think he lives on the golf course. I think that man out there enjoying his life. And we talked about the fallout of last season and how so many things happened last year that could frustrate some of those guys. With all of that behind us, with the Mike Brown stuff behind us, with the De'Aaron Fox stuff behind us, with the urgency to, hey, fellas, let's just get through the season. Hey, fellas, let's just get together. Let's play the right way. Let's see what we could do here. You know, let's make a push for the playoffs. That doesn't work. Let's try to get this playing game. Let's go out there and do what we can. With all of that behind you, with all of the, you know, adrenaline that comes with that almost survival-like instinct, how are your feelings once that's worn off? Is it, man, what a brutal offseason, or what a brutal season, excuse me. Let's take a breath, reset. We're not going to have to go through any of that next year. We'll come out, we'll cook, we'll be ready. Or is it, man, what a season. Yo, F this team, man. They're as dysfunctional as everybody says they are. This team can't get right. Not sure. However, the Kings clearly have some good young components. I'd like to see a little bit more from Devin Carter, though. He did exactly what I wanted him to do on Saturday. I'd love to see him do something along those lines tonight. Again, it could be somewhere in the middle of those two games. I want to see him be more than scoring. I want to see him be comfortable. Be comfortable as the go-to guy. Be comfortable as the number one out there and facilitate everything for those young brothers. And I will be able to make my judgment based off that when we reconvene here tomorrow at 12 o'clock once the game is over. We'll come back, man. Much more basketball to talk about. A situation is brewing in San Francisco, of course, as we approach training camp. There's no chance we could get to 49ers training camp without some drama surrounding a wide receiver. And we're not going to get into the All-Star break the way that KC hoped. Obviously, he's out today, but we'll talk about his Giants, and we'll dive back into the Kings as well. Will Z in the 2 o'clock hour, James Hamm in the 3 o'clock hour. Steeler with KC brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, phone lines are open for you if you want to hang out and talk. 916-909-1320. Let's welcome Baker Family Wines to the family. We told you in 2025 we're bringing the bottles back, baby. And if you're watching on the stream, you see we've got the bottles behind us here in the studio. We're going to try to make them look a little bit prettier than they look right now. But we have teamed up with Dusty Baker, the Hall of Famer, who's headed from the dugout to the vineyard, man. He makes some absolutely incredible wine, a wide variety. Dusty's has put just as much passion into these wines as he did his managing career, man. Dusty Baker and Baker Family Wines. We are thrilled to be teaming with them. We told you one day, hey, man, we need to do a wine tasting event. And we're doing that to the 10th level. Let me show y'all this one, man. This 755 right here. This is my jam. This cab right here, Hammer and Hank, obviously 755. They partnered with Hank before he passed away. Obviously, he gave his full blessings on this, and it is an absolutely tremendous wine. They're in West Sacramento. The tasting room is incredible. It's a phenomenal place to go hang out, and I assure you, we will be hanging out there moving forward. We're working on our first event with Baker Family Wines. Join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and tasting room specials. Baker Family Wines, man, the official winery of D'Lo and KC. And I don't know that Dusty would be feeling what happened over the weekend, because Oracle Park was jumping, and it was jumping for all the wrong reasons. Sounded like there were a lot of Dodger fans in San Francisco, and they went home unhappy on Friday. The Giants legitimately had a chance to do what we talked about them doing last week. They had an opportunity to win the series. Now, I'm not changing my tone here. Had they won the series, I don't think it would have been enough. Like, in terms of making a real run at the division. But would have been good for vibes. And, like, for a realistic opportunity, man, it would have been fantastic. Like, you chip away at it a little bit. You feel good. I mean, and that's probably the most important thing. You feel good going into the break. Now you've just gotten your ass kicked by the Dodgers a couple of times. Like, on the overall, what is it, 4-2 so far in the season? Do I have that right? Yeah, you got to do a little. You got to do a little better than that. And, man, it started out the right way. It started out that Friday night, sending L.A. to their seventh straight loss. Man, that's the killer, too. The Dodgers are up six games? And they've lost seven straight? Man, that's tough. That was why on Friday, as we were talking about this series, it was kind of like, I don't think winning this series is going to be enough. You've got the Dodgers legit struggling right now, and you're six back in the division. Or you're six back now. I think they were five back to start, but they're six back now. I don't know if that's going to work. They had a chance to get the series last night. I mean, 2-1. Again, I don't think it would have been enough, but vibes. Feeling good headed into the All-Star break. They had an opportunity to get the series last night and couldn't do it. Hell of a ninth inning. Things went bad for them in the 11th. And that pop when Freddie Freeman's single dropped was a little bit too loud. A little bit too loud there at Oracle Park. That's why I say I don't think Dusty Baker would have liked that. I know Dusty Baker was with the Dodgers, too. And I don't think he would have liked that many Dodger fans at Oracle Park. He would say, yo, this ain't happened when I was here. I think the Giants' best bet is the wild card. I did see, well, there was an interesting note about the Giants. They're 52-45, so they're reaching the All-Star break with 52 wins for the fifth time over the last 20 seasons. They did it when they won the NL West with 107 victories in 2021. They also did it in 16-14. In 2011. This Dodgers team is legit, though. And the killer part is you have the Padres right there. So I feel like, and obviously you just do what you do. You keep going out there. You keep playing games. You keep trying to win games. You just go out there. You do what you do. But I don't think the Giants can catch the Dodgers in the division. They get into the playoffs, it's going to have to be through the wild card. And I think they're a good enough wild card team. Like, they're a good enough team to get in through the wild card. And I think they're a good enough team to win in the wild card, get to a full-on playoff series. I absolutely believe they're able to do that. I think the Dodgers have some shortcomings, too, which it'll be interesting to see if the Dodgers are in one of those, like, LeBron-led team things where they're, you know, they won the World Series. Now they're kind of chilling. Now they know it's a long season. They just want to get through it. And their way of getting through it is, 58 wins or whatever it is. And I know they, you know, there's people talking about their full-on rotation isn't strong enough. You know, I'll be curious to see as we get to the second half of the season, how does Otani's role on the mound change? They've been very delicate with his return to the mound. I don't imagine it's a situation where he's going to go from 2-7 or 2-6. But I do wonder if you're going to see a gradual increase from post All-Star break headed into playoffs. Is that something that they're viewing as a luxury versus a necessity? Is the idea of Shohei Ohtani on the mound for you, oh man, that'd be great. That'd be great if it works out, but it's cool if it doesn't, because here's what we have. I'm not sure I would operate on that front if I was the Dodgers, though. I would operate on the idea of like, it's cool if it's dope if he's there, but if he's not, that's all right. And that's, I think, Dodgers fans' biggest complaint. Obviously, we'll talk to Jason Jones tomorrow, as we do every Tuesday, but that's Dodger fans, I think, biggest frustration is that they don't have a full slate of pitchers. Once you get into some of these series, man, that could come back to get you. You got guys coming back, and we'll see what that winds up looking like. Brett Sawyer points out trade deadline is coming up on July 31st. Dodgers are rarely a team that sits around quietly. They have everything you need to make a move. Are the Giants able to make a move? What are they? I don't think the Giants are going to make a bigger move than they already have. But what else might be there for the Giants again? And I don't think the idea should be, oh, go catch the Dodgers, go catch the Dodgers, go catch the Dodgers. It should be, let's play winning baseball the rest of the way. If we make some acquisitions before the July 31st trade deadline, all good. Let's just keep moving. Let's just keep moving. Let's just keep moving. Let's be playing our best baseball as the regular season winds down and we head into the postseason. Let's be playing our best baseball when this wild card comes around. Do that. And if you catch the Dodgers in the process, but again, the difficulty for me is the Dodgers, they lost 7 in a row and you barely made a dent in this. Or at least not one to where you go like, I see the light. It's right there. I see the light. Let's go get it. It didn't happen. The Giants are going to have to hit another one of those really, really strong runs, and the Dodgers are going to have to fall off. What I think is going to happen, I think the Dodgers are going to ascend the second part of the season. Doesn't mean the Giants won't, but if both of them do, that's not going to do anything for the division. So there is a lot to watch for. Home Run Derby here on ESPN 1320, as is the All-Star Game. We mentioned, for those that missed it, that are just tuning in, Maxime Raynaud of the Sacramento Kings Summer League squad will not play tonight. Sean Cunningham reports he will miss tonight's game against the Suns due to right wrist soreness that he suffered from something that he suffered on Saturday. So no Maxime Raynaud. He was one of the main levels of excitement for the Sacramento Kings. He will not play tonight. Now, I don't know what that means for Max's summer league. I don't know what that means for Max moving forward. But as Sean Cunningham says, he will not play tonight. If there's any issues moving forward, I'm at the point, like I said this earlier, I don't mind repeating it, you can shut people down. Like the main three, and to me the main three are Max, Neek, and Devin. If you want to shut them down after tonight's game, it's perfectly fine with me. I'll happily watch Isaiah Stevens. I'll happily watch Isaiah Crawford, Dylan Caldwell, whoever. Those guys are out there working, busting their ass. Like, I'll happily watch them. Isaac Jones, Mason Jones, whatever.